China's President Xi Jinping took a historic trip to Europe this May. He visited France, Serbia, and Hungary. And while he was there, he condemned the US and NATO for having bombed China's embassy in Serbia back in 1999. This is a very important historic event that is not very well known in the West, but it shows how, for decades, the US has been carrying out very aggressive policies against China. And now, today, the US talks about its so-called competition with China, or more appropriately, it's a new Cold War that the US is waging against China. But we can actually see the early roots of this US aggression. On the 7th of May, when President Xi was arriving in Serbia, he published an article in a Serbian newspaper. Here I'm looking at the official English language translation of this letter, which was published by CGTN, China's state media. And toward the end of the article, President Xi points out, he said, 25 years ago today, NATO flagrantly bombed the Chinese embassy in Yugoslavia, killing three Chinese journalists. And the Chinese president said, quote, "This we should never forget. The Chinese people cherish peace, but we will never allow such tragic history to repeat itself." Now, after this US attack on China's embassy, the Bill Clinton administration claimed that it was an accident, and Clinton's envoy sent a letter to the Chinese government claiming that it was a mistake. This was a blatant lie. In fact, just a few months after the May 1999 attack, the British newspaper The Observer, which is a sister of The Guardian, published an article titled "NATO Bombed Chinese Deliberately, NATO Hit Embassy on Purpose." The article revealed, I'm quoting, "NATO deliberately bombed the Chinese embassy in Belgrade." Belgrade is the capital of Serbia. It was also previously the capital of Yugoslavia. And in the 1990s, NATO, led by the US, destroyed Yugoslavia. It no longer exists as a country. The US bombed it, waged war on it over several years, and supported separatist movements to break up the former socialist government of Yugoslavia using divide and conquer tactics to encourage sectarianism and right-wing nationalism, like what the US also did in the former Soviet Union, and like what the US is trying to do today in China as well, supporting separatism in numerous regions in China. But anyway, getting back to this article, it cites numerous Western sources. This is not from Chinese sources. This British newspaper cited senior military and intelligence sources in Europe and the US, including three NATO officers who admitted that US-led NATO forces intentionally bombed China's embassy, which is Chinese sovereign territory, and their excuse was that the Chinese embassy was acting as a rebroadcast station for the Yugoslav army after NATO alliance jets had successfully destroyed Serbia's own transmitters, Yugoslavia's own transmitters. And they said that the Chinese were suspected of monitoring cruise missile attacks on Belgrade being carried out by US NATO forces with the view to developing effective countermeasures against US missiles. And later in the article, they also acknowledge that one explanation is that China at that time lacked stealth technology, and the Yugoslavs had shot down US NATO stealth fighter jets, and China allegedly wanted to get access to this US NATO military technology. Now, again, the US government's claim was that this is an accident. And here I'm reading from this report from 1999. "The official NATO line, as expressed by President Bill Clinton and CIA Director George Tenet, was that the attack on the Chinese embassy was a mistake. However, a source in the US National Imagery and Mapping Agency from the US government admitted that the claim that it was a mistake because of a wrong map, he said that this is a damned lie. It's completely false. The US government fabricated this claim." Now, at the time in China, this was a huge scandal, and it led to massive protests across China in multiple cities. And there were protesters who rallied outside of the U.S. embassy and U.S. consulates, condemning Washington, condemning NATO for killing three Chinese journalists and carrying out a blatant attack on Chinese sovereign territory. Now, this year, in early 2024, Israel attacked Iran's embassy in Syria, which was a blatant act of war against Iran. And then Iran, in self-defense, retaliated against Israel. China did not retaliate, of course, but the Chinese government forcefully condemned this U.S. aggression against its territory. And still today, 25 years later, this is very important politically and symbolically in China. And that's why President Xi raised this issue when he visited Serbia on this historic trip this May. And it shows that Washington's very aggressive policies and hybrid war against China are not entirely new. They go back decades. Now, I should point out that U.S.-led NATO forces also killed hundreds of civilians when it bombed Yugoslavia in the 1990s. This was admitted even by Human Rights Watch, which is very biased in the interests of the U.S. government. But even Human Rights Watch had to admit that after investigating, it found 90 separate incidents involving civilian deaths during the 78-day of U.S.-NATO bombing of Yugoslavia, and 500 Yugoslav civilians were killed in these U.S.-NATO attacks, and U.S.-NATO forces intentionally targeted civilian infrastructure, including the headquarters of Serb radio and television in Belgrade. This is journalism. The U.S. was intentionally destroying a journalist office. And furthermore, U.S.-NATO forces destroyed the new Belgrade heating plant that provided heating for houses, and U.S.-NATO forces destroyed 7 bridges that were not on major transportation routes and did not have military functions. Moreover, the U.S. and Britain also used cluster bombs, which are prohibited by most countries around the world, although the U.S. refuses to ban them. And cluster bombs are notorious for causing horrible atrocities and leading to massive civilian casualties, especially later on after conflicts. Little children who are playing will often become victims and be killed or wounded by leftover cluster bombs from the previous war. So today, the government in Serbia is often portrayed by the Western media as anti-Western and supposedly too close to Russia and China. But in reality, we can see very clearly why many people in Serbia oppose NATO and oppose Western imperialism. For one, destroying Yugoslavia that no longer exists as a country because of this Western US-led NATO war and Balkanization policies and separatism. And furthermore, hundreds of Yugoslav civilians were killed in this US-NATO war. And it's very interesting to see Serbia deepening its relations with China. Of course, Serbia's government today is no longer a leftist government like it was back in Yugoslavia, when Yugoslavia had a socialist government. And Yugoslavia was, in fact, one of the co-founders of the non-aligned movement and often had positive relations with the People's Republic of China. And President Xi himself pointed out some of this history when he was in Serbia. He noted that when he was young, he enjoyed watching Yugoslav movies and listening to music that was anti-fascist from the communist partisan movement in Yugoslavia. And in particular, President Xi mentioned a Yugoslav partisan movie called The Bridge, which was about Yugoslav partisans who fought against the Nazi regime, German fascists, during World War II. And President Xi also said that he was a fan of the famous anti-fascist partisan song, Bella Ciao. And what's also interesting is that Serbia is one of the very few countries in Europe that are part of China's Belt and Road Initiative. And in the letter that President Xi published in the Serbian newspaper when he visited, he pointed out that as a member of the Belt and Road Initiative, China and Serbia are expanding cooperation in technological innovation, advanced manufacturing, green energy, the digital economy, artificial intelligence, and other emerging areas. In fact, China is building some very advanced infrastructure in Serbia as part of the BRI, and China has started and partially finished part of a high-speed rail that connects the capital of Hungary, Budapest, to the capital of Serbia, Belgrade. And China's plan is to eventually further extend the high-speed rail south, so connecting Hungary to Serbia to North Macedonia to Greece, and then connecting to the southern port city of Greece of Piraeus, which goes into the Aegean Sea and into the Mediterranean. So this is part of China's goal to encourage more trade and develop infrastructure in the region. And another very important aspect of China's cooperation with Serbia in the BRI is the fact that a Chinese state-owned company invested in steel production in a depressed city in Serbia where the steel plant was on the verge of bankruptcy, and they asked China to help to provide investment, to provide thousands of jobs in an economically depressed city. And when President Xi was visiting Serbia, in fact, steel workers from this plant owned by a Chinese state-owned enterprise, they wrote a letter to President Xi thanking him. And what was very interesting is that back in 2016, President Xi went to Serbia and actually he met with some of these workers at this steel plant and talked about the idea of mutually beneficial cooperation. This is a very important point that China always emphasizes, that its economic policies, its infrastructure development, its investments are geared toward mutually beneficial cooperation. Now, there's a lot of ridiculous Western propaganda claiming that China is being exploitative and all of this, but no, because a lot of this Chinese investment is being driven by state-owned enterprises. They're not seeking to maximize profit and exploit foreign workers. In fact, it was the Serbian government that asked for China to invest in these projects. And yes, China does get some benefits. It has more trading partners. It helps to develop infrastructure to integrate their economies better. And so China is no longer as reliant on the US and Western Europe. But of course, Serbia benefits as well. You can see this very clearly if you look at a chart of Serbian steel production. In the 2010s, its steel production hit zero in 2013. And the government was really trying to bring back some of the steel production, which is, of course, needed for basic industrialization to develop other industries and simply to provide jobs in these depressed areas in Serbia. So what happened? In 2016, the Serbian government asked China to invest, and Serbia's steel production increased from around 30, 40, 50,000 tons a year. It skyrocketed to 180,000 tons a year, increasing by three, almost four times in just 2 years. And a Polish financial website published a very interesting article about this back in 2019, titled "The Incredible Rise of Serbian Steel Industry." It noted that in 2018, Serbia became the world leader in the increase of the production of crude steel with a growth rate of 39%. And it noted that almost everything that Serbia produces comes from the Smederevo Steel Company, which is owned by a Chinese state-owned enterprise. And this article details some of the history, which people who claim that China is being exploitative and all this Western propaganda, they conveniently leave out this part of the history. So after the destruction of Yugoslavia, this NATO war, and the privatization of previous state-owned companies after the end of socialism in Yugoslavia, this steel plant was bought up by the U.S. corporation U.S. Steel in 2003, and U.S. Steel pledged to invest $150 million in modernization after buying it for $23 million. However, the development declined. The U.S. company did not invest sufficiently, and instead, in 2012, U.S. Steel sold the company back to the government of Serbia for $1. They were just getting rid of it, writing it off their balance sheet, because at that point they considered it useless. So in other words, this U.S. company bought what had previously been a productive steel plant and basically destroyed its capabilities and then gave it back to the Serbian government. And then the Serbian government spent years trying to find foreign investors because it lacked the capital needed in order to invest. And of course, if the government had sufficient capital, it could and it should, honestly, invest and provide these good jobs, high-quality jobs for Serb workers. But instead, the Serbian government was looking for foreign investors, and it asked American and Dutch companies, and they refused to do it. So in 2016, as part of the Belt and Road Initiative, Serbia asked China And China's state-owned enterprise agreed to buy the company for 46 million euros. And then over the next 2 years, China invested $300 million in building up the plant, which is what made it one of the fastest growing steel producers in the world by 2018. And this article in this financial website noted that this Serbian steel factory is on track to become the most competitive steel mill in Europe. When the Chinese took it over in 2016, it generated a loss of 130 million euros in 1 year. So the Serbian government was losing money just keeping this in operation to prevent it from shutting down, because if it shut down, it would be almost impossible to bring it back in operation. And then all of these people in this depressed area in Serbia would lose their jobs. So instead, when this Chinese state-owned enterprise took it over, by the end of 2016, it had gone from losing 130 million euros a year to making a net revenue of 10 million euros per year. And then this article notes that after 7 years of economic stagnation, with a little effort, this Chinese state-owned company has managed to heal the Serbian steel sector. Of course, also with support from the Serbian government and with Serbian workers, thousands of whom have good, high-quality jobs at the steel mill, which is needed for other forms of industrialization to expand manufacturing production. And of course, when you have a steel mill like this, when you have a big factory that provides thousands of jobs, it also provides more economic activity in the community, other businesses. You know, it provides, of course, salaries for family members and their children, and furthermore, restaurants, grocery stores. So in many ways, this Chinese investment through a state-owned company helped to reinvigorate Serbia. And the irony is it was socialist Yugoslavia that had these state-owned companies that were privatized. And then a U.S. private company took it over and did not invest and sold it for parts and threatened to get rid of all these jobs. So it took another state-owned company by socialist China to bring back those jobs and economic activity in this depressed Serbian area. I think this is a very instructive example of what the Belt and Road Initiative actually means for countries around the world. Serbia is just one small example. It's a relatively small country in Central Europe. But when you hear this Western propaganda about China and the BRI, think about this example. There are, of course, many other around the world. And here at Geopolitical Economy Report, we try to help educate people about some of these issues, because again, the Western media is simply echoing the propaganda talking points of Western governments and simply saying China bad, Russia bad, West good, NATO good. But if you actually know some of this history, for instance, about NATO intentionally bombing China's embassy and killing three Chinese journalists, you can see that the reality is, in fact, something completely different. On that note, I'm going to conclude. I am Ben Norton, the editor-in-chief of Geopolitical Economy Report. Please like and subscribe. Please share this. If you like the work that we do, you can support us over at geopoliticaleconomy.com/support. And you can become a patron over at patreon.com/geopoliticaleconomy. We are totally independent. We have no big sponsors, no institutional support. We rely entirely on small donations from viewers and listeners like you. And I will be back very soon for much more analysis of geopolitics and economics. See you next time. Thanks a lot.